Assalamu alaikum. So I thought it would be interesting to just go over some verses of the Bible that are practiced by Muslims, but you don't really see them practiced by Christians. And I thought it would be helpful that Muslims are aware of these verses. One that I think is really interesting is the concept of prostration or sajda. I've been to church many times. I don't think I've ever seen in church anybody prostrating. And yet we see when you come to the masjid, Muslims are prostrating and bowing down and making sajda and making sujood, bowing down and putting their face to the floor and worshiping God. And we know that many places in the New Testament, Jesus did that. One, for example, is in Matthew 26:39 that says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So this is a good example of sajda. Furthermore, we have examples of wudu. Again, I haven't seen Christians practicing this of washing themselves, making ablution, washing themselves before prayer. It seems to be something that is somewhat forgotten. Maybe some certain groups do, but it doesn't seem to be very popular. But with Muslims, we do wash ourselves. This is similar to the way it's mentioned in Exodus 40:30-32. It says, he placed the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing. And Moses and Aaron and his sons used it to wash their hands and their feet. They washed whenever they entered the tent of meeting or approached the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. So you have both Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, Moses and Aaron washing themselves before they go into worship, essentially. This is exactly the way Muslims wash themselves. I mean, it's very similar to the way Muslims, we wash ourselves and then we pray. And so you see this beautiful connection. The most powerful is obviously Tawheed. We're going to cover that in a lot more detail another time, but there are so many mentions of this concept that God is one, God is only one, concept of Trinity. We're going to go through it in a lot of detail. So I don't want to burden you with a lot of verses about that now, but you know, in Islam, we emphasize the oneness of God a lot, and the Bible does so as well. We'll get to that in its own video. But something as simple as what? Saying salam. When you meet people, you say, peace be upon you, salamu alaykum, wa alaykum salam. Well, guess what? It mentions in Luke 10:5. It says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. So this is not something I've ever seen a Christian do. I don't think I've ever seen a Christian, I've never seen a Christian say peace to this house. I don't see them regularly saying peace be upon you or greeting each other with peace, but Muslims do. And this is something that Jesus said, when you enter a house, first say. The word say is a command. He's telling you, do this. I don't see them do it, but we do it. So I think that's pretty interesting. Muslims memorize the Quran. This is something that's part of our deen, part of our religion, part of our faith. And alhamdulillah, there are many people that have memorized the entire Quran. And it seems that this is something that is a quality or description of the righteous people that's mentioned in Jeremiah 31:33. It says, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. So the fact that the believers are described as people that have the law written in their, it's in their minds and it's written on their hearts. Now, I know this, you could say, is just some interpretation, but still, I think it's a pretty valid interpretation that this could be a reference to what? Memorizing a holy scripture. You memorize it by heart, right? That's how they describe it. And Muslims do that. Do you see Christians doing that? Little to none, you know. Is this something practiced amongst them? Not really. So Muslims actually practice this. Same thing when it comes to the prohibition of alcohol. We find that in Luke 1:13-15, it says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drinks, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. So this is a description of John as somebody who is very praiseworthy for many different reasons, one of which is that he never touches alcohol. So it seems to be a very praiseworthy quality and characteristic to never touch anything that makes you intoxicated or any sort of hallucinogen or anything that messes with your mind. And this is exactly what we believe in Islam, that you're not supposed to take any muskir, anything that makes you drunk or intoxicated or high or whatever the case, whatever term you want to use, that we don't touch these things. And this is something very praiseworthy. Furthermore, the hijab, we know that Muslims wear the hijab, Christian women usually don't. Yes, some of them do, the nuns. We know that nuns do wear the hijab, but all the images of the Mother Mary, covering her hair. And this is something that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11:6 that says, for if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. So in other words, It's basically saying, this is the Bible speaking. This isn't Islamic sources. This is the Bible saying what? If it's a shame for you to be walking around bald, then what should you do? Cover your hair and show a little bit of, I don't know, modesty, shame, whatever the case, whatever term you want to use. And subhanAllah, you find that the Muslim women, our sisters wear hijab. And what you find amongst the Christians is, by and large, they do not. Furthermore, you often find, when it comes to issues of marital issues, you find that many Christians are shocked that, and even sometimes appalled, that Muslims practice polygamy, that we are allowed to have more than one wife. Funny enough, most Christians have no idea that the Bible doesn't just permit polygamy, it actually gives you directions on how to be a good polygamist. So in Exodus 21:10, it says, if he marries another woman, he must not deprive the first one of her food, clothing, and marital rights. So this is the Bible telling you how to have two wives. It's telling you how to be good and make sure that you're equitable with the first and the second wife, that you don't favor one over the other. You know you want to treat your wives well. This is in the Bible, guys. So subhanAllah, do Christians know about this? Do they care? I mean, I actually recently had a conversation with a very practicing Christian that reads the Bible regularly. And they were like, that's not there, that's not in the Bible. I was like, well, yes it is, Exodus 21:10, it's right there. And this person was quite shocked, it was quite interesting. Furthermore, this is kind of a smaller issue, but I still thought it was quite nice. This idea of uniting the world with one language. I do believe that Allah has chosen Arabic to be our uniting language. And I do think that because the Quran and Sunnah are in Arabic, that as Muslims, we are supposed to learn this as our universal language. And it does mention in Zephaniah 3:9, it says, then I will purify the lips of the peoples, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him shoulder to shoulder. So this description, when you look into an explanation, I heard one rabbi saying that purify their lips means to speak one language. Now, obviously, the rabbi would say that one language is Hebrew, but I would say that purifying the lips means to that we all speak the language chosen by God to reveal his final message in, and that was the Arabic language. And it also says that they will serve him shoulder to shoulder. I think you can all see that that's a reference to, and God knows best, Allah knows best, but it seems to be a reference to the way the Muslims literally stand shoulder to shoulder and with one In Arabic, in the Quran, all around the world, they recite it in the same language, standing shoulder to shoulder, worshiping God. So this really seems to be painting a picture of the Muslims, subhanAllah, and not so much necessarily of the Christians. So Allah knows best, especially because their original text, I mean, the language of Jesus was Aramaic, and they don't even have the text in Aramaic. They have their earliest manuscripts are in Greek. So anyway, this seems to be something that they can't even fulfill, even if they wanted to. So God knows best, Allah knows best, but I thought that these verses were quite interesting and something for Muslims to appreciate about the Bible. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.